the more I think about it.
Wait, yo, we're back with the podcast friendly fire. We got Dashy today. Let's go. Welcome. We were just talking about it, dude. This is an OG show. I started Dub 2. That was right when you were coming up, bro. Remember that time?
Man, you're the OG. I remember the first time we were watching these as a community. I think it was like after Seattle. Was it after Seattle? Something like that, right?
Yeah, it was after Seattle, yeah.
Oh my God, my memory is actually godlike for that. But, I remember when, like, the whole community was watching. There was like, I remember you had like 10K viewers or something like that. And then there was so many pros in the chat. And then people were just like, you were just answering the questions that like all the pros wanted to say, but, or like, you know what I'm saying? Like the post event, like almost like conference, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, like this is kind of lit. And then everyone's just giving like their opinions and stuff.
Yeah, man, it was cool. A crazy time, dude. And I'm super excited to get you on here. Obviously, you and Jay have some history. Jay was dumb hype that you were actually down to hop on the podcast.
Yeah, my godfather.
Yeah, that's straight up.
That is true. I can't lie.
What's up, B? How we doing, baby? How we doing?
We chilling, bro. We grinded. I mean, like, yo, we got champs coming up, stage 5. So it's lock-in time. It's grind time.
It is.
Okay. I expect nothing less out of you, kid. You know that. You know I expect nothing but greatness out of you.
We showing up locked, that's for sure.
Hell yeah. So as you guys know how Friendly Fire goes, we're going to talk about like his life, his COD career. We'll get into the topical stuff, which means current events later on in the episode, and then Friendly Fire segment at the end. But Jay, why don't you just start it off, man? Let's get it going.
Yeah, man. I just want to, you know, first of all, say thank you for coming on.
And yes, sir.
Before we get this interview, bro, you are a superstar in our league, and you know that from top to bottom, bro. So it's an awesome experience to obviously have you here. I've known you for a long time. Seeing you come into the community, so it's just crazy to see how you've grown. But let's start this one off, my brother. All right, so what is it like in the life of Dashy, bro? Like, what is life like for Dashy, bro? Talk to me.
Honestly, every day it's nothing crazy. I get on an hour and a half before scrims, I get to the studio, and I mean, I get some breakfast for the most part. Today I got McDonald's breakfast, you know, how to like, go offset, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, absolutely. Two hash browns, if you want to. Two of them. Because one.
Hash browns slap.
Yeah, not egg McMuffin. But everything's pretty consistent. I get here an hour early, like to warm up for about like half an hour. I usually just scrub. I play COD a lot. It's like probably around, probably like 10 to 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
And I'm here for a while, so I don't really got time for anything else. So.
Wait, Brandon, do you have a roommate out there, or you got your own place?
I don't. Yeah, I got my own place.
How long have you had your own place for?
I guess like this is my third year, but actually no, and when I was in LA I was living with Teej, but which that was so trolly the more I think about it, but we were not meant to like room together for sure, but
yeah.
But I've been here for this is my third year living or alone here.
How you know, obviously, because prior to that you were living at home like with the fam, right? And when you were out. And so how is it like, do you feel like you fend pretty well on your own, like being in your own place? Like,
At first it was definitely different. I'm definitely used to, I'm like, I'm spoiled back home. I can't lie. My mom does my laundry, just the default. She makes food. You know,
no problem with that.
Yeah. And then I'm like, damn, I remember being out here. I was like, yo, I got to order Chick-fil-A or Chipotle. Like, I'm trying to have a home cooked meal. Like, I'm Lebanese. I want some salad. You know what I'm saying? Like, pita bread. Like, we got nothing here. So,
yeah.
But, it definitely took some adjusting, but obviously it's part of life. You got to grow up eventually.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was I just like probably the first week or two, I was like, damn, like this is a little weird, but
yeah, absolutely. Cool. Yeah. So like, one thing I wanted to start off with, obviously talking about your life and stuff and how you're living, but also like your mentality. So like you are very like fun loving, you crack jokes, like whenever I'm watching your stream and stuff like that, just in general, it's just how you are, but you're also like fiercely competitive. Like when I watch you play other games, like Valorant, you're radiant in, you're just frying everybody. If somebody talks shit, you immediately got to clap them back. Like, and you do it with your gameplay, which is fire. So I'm like, when I see that, it's a lot different than some of the other pros, like just straight up, even how it's been when somebody's had little beef with you, you never say anything really overtly back to the player. You just kind of wait till your next time you get to play them. And then you go crazy. So where did you get that from? Because it's kind of unique compared to some of the other pros that we haven't seen. Did you play sports growing up? Like, where's that come from?
Yeah, so I played hockey for almost 10 years. I wasn't anything too crazy at it, but actually, no, what am I saying? I could have went to Brian.
Could have been on Toronto, baby.
Yeah, I could have been on the Leafs, baby. It could have been the center, but well, all good, though. They're doing good right now, so we'll let them rock. But I don't know. I'm just super competitive. I think it's just I hate losing. Like, I think Damon said this once, but like, I just hate losing when I like winning. So it's just whenever I lose, it pisses me off, honestly. It just motivates me. And I don't know. There's just something about like, I've only won two events, but there's something about like tasting it. It's just like so, yeah. Like, yeah. It's so like, I don't know. It just drives me. So probably just that.
Jay, what is your mentality like when you're losing? Because some people react to losing completely different. Like, do you just sit there and cave, like go to your room, turn off the lights, throw on some Marvin Gaye by Drake, or like you're the guy that instantly goes back to the vase, is just like, yo, we messed up here, we messed up on this, like we're instantly
going
to be.
That's not always good
this.
Though.
Like what? Yeah. Yeah, no, it's not. I'm just wondering what's his aspect. Like, how do you take losing? Like, what's your ritual? I guess
it depends. If it's a league match. Like, I'll just be pissed off for, like, 30 minutes, and I'll watch the VOD back and see, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, well, I don't think we do it as a team because it's just too fresh, you know what I'm saying? Like, especially, mm-hmm. like, the day of. I'll just watch it back on my own and see, like, what I could have did personally, because I always look at, because even if I played good or played bad, I could always, like, pinpoint, like, a situation or an area that I could improve on. Even if it's, like, let's say, even if I got a two-piece somewhere and it looks like that, I couldn't have done any more. Like, I was like thinking back, like, nah, I remember this, like, I just made a decision here that was like that I could have made better or something like that. But I always like look at my own stuff, and then the next day, obviously, that's when like we'll talk about it as a team, like, yo, we gotta talk, like, you know what I'm saying, just like the default mm-hmm. Like whatever talking points that you gotta do. But wait, what was the question again?
No, he's just asking, like, after losses, how you deal with
yeah,
it.
Okay, yes. Yeah, like... and on land, oh dude, it depends. If we're still in the tourney, I don't know, it pisses me off of like, or like, we probably just like, I don't know. I need to go to my room for like 2 hours, just chill out. Just get my mind off.
You got Drake playing? Hey, Boogie? Which one?
No music, yo. Just straight raw.
That's how I was. No music, bro. Music would make me more mad, bro.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'll just be like, little baby. I'm just like, damn, I'm not trying to hear this. Now I want to like punch my wall or something. So yeah, I'm just like, sure, I forget about it.
So, like, you know, kind of on that same topic of like your fierce competitive nature, and you said it comes from that you hate losing, right? Are there any like athletes that you look to, like mentality wise? Like, a lot of people look to like Kobe and Jordan and stuff. Like, I found myself back in the day, I would watch like, you know, clips of them. I'm like, how are they so laser focused and stuff like that? And obviously you try to, you know, emulate that in some way as a competitor in anything, right? Just because they're the pinnacle of competition. Is there anybody like that for you, or is that something that you've done before? You're like, damn, I'm inspired by that guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think the popular answer is probably Kobe, and it kind of is for me, but I don't want to like just, you know what I'm saying, I don't want to just give like a recycled answer that probably hella people gave. But
yeah,
I mean, Kobe was the reason I got into basketball. He was it was kind of pretty much it, but like, he just, I kind of looked up to him. He was someone, he just was stayed even kill, you know what I mean? He could go up 2-0 in a series, and then phase me, could go down 0-2, doesn't matter if he's down 20, up 20, he's just always the same, he's just always in the moment. So just kind of that level of thinking, I guess, that inspired me.
So, piggybacking off of that, in gaming, was there anybody that inspired you in gaming? Because obviously you had to come up, and there were pros before you in other esports, anywhere. Is there anybody that you look to, you're like, damn, that guy's dominant. Like, I'm trying to be kind of like that.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's definitely Formal. I mean, it's so trolly because he's right next to me right now. So, but it was definitely him. Especially coming up in IW, that was... I think that was the year they won champ. So he was definitely fine on that game. It was just the way he carried himself. He was just so I don't know, it was just like, it was like him against the whole, or him against the world. Like, it was, or his team against everybody else, and he
it
just
was
had that mindset of, yeah, like, it was just like he was about his business. And I just remember him being the best playing against him. I'm like, holy shit, this guy's like different. I gotta actually like step up my game if I'm gonna actually like compete with this guy. But it was just his mindset that he was, it was super inspiring seeing somebody grind like that, and just like almost like he was like willing his team to wins. And it was something that to this day I try to emulate.
That's dope to hear, man. Honestly,
that's crazy.
Cause you guys, like, if you were to compare a player, but if you were to compare a player to Matt, like, you are the closest comparison. Like, really, like, truly, because it's like, you know, a guy who goes out there, he's just gonna give you 40 every time. He's gonna go out there and fry, and that's kind of what you do. You win your ones, you will them to wins when they need you to, and when the team's playing well, you just you blend in, right? But when they need you to take over, you do that. How do you feel like you've changed as a player from when you first came in? Because you first came in, you were teaming with legends, bro. Like,
yeah.
After the initial rigmarole of jumping from, like, you know, starts like you team with Jay and then you went to another team for a month. But you got that, your first big opportunity was like straight to the top of the ladder, the legends. Talk me through how that was and then guide me to like where you feel like you are now, like the end result.
Yeah, it's definitely insane because the more I think about it, I basically joined Optic and I was replacing, Matt, like basically on the Dynasty team. So at first it was, it didn't hit me until like maybe a month in or when I was scrimming with them every day and it was like a new routine and I'm like, damn, I'm looking over at Damon and then Crimsix and Scump. I'm like, how the fuck did I get here? Like, I was like, damn, did I Loki just finesse? And then, but thank God it was BO4 and I was nastier, but I don't know. It was definitely different, especially coming up because everything kind of happened so fast, but not, I don't know. But also, like, I feel like I had to prove myself for like a year and a half, 2 years. I don't know. Like, it was weird because it was like both feelings of like finally I got my shot, but at the same time, like, damn, like it's this shot. You know what I'm saying? So.
Well, you had to prove yourself, Jay. Remember? Because all of us, you know, me and Pac-Man, we was like all these
Hams getting chances. 2 years.
Yeah. I was sitting there. I was like,
this guy's only getting eight. So I was like,
why does this guy get a shot? You know what I mean? Like little things. Like everybody was like that though. So you definitely still had to prove yourself. And Jay, you were right long. You were there and you were the guy, you were the proponent. Like, this kid is going to be number one. I remember.
Oh, yeah. I found myself at a point in my career where it was just like, I was on the downhill, bro. I was getting closer and closer to like the end of my career. But the only thing that usually sparks a guy that's been playing for a little bit is a young, young, talented player. And when I saw Dashy play, I've only seen him play Search and Destroy before, but like just the S&D mind that he had. It was insane, bro. Like, so that was what like really sparked my eye, because obviously you had the opportunity with the age difference that just came back in going into IW that we were able to pick up a nice little roster. It was me, you, Ricky, and Donnie, right? Temp. Yeah. So that was our young team, bro. And like watching you perform there, I always knew that you were destined to be like one of the best players ever because of just your raw talent. And I knew that once, because you were starting at such a young age, all of us, we believed in you. Me, Donnie, and Rick all believed in you.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to see how much you've grown from that aspect. So, like, talk to me, because I remember even after we were teaming, like, we went from straight ripping, then we went to Complexity. When we got to Complexity, I was your teammate for a little bit, but then I ended up coaching you. And from that point on, I remember we used to always sit there. We had conversations, bro, like, yo, like, I always used to tell you, because you know, when I was coaching you guys, with the four perspectives that I had, you know, your teammates, Ricky, Blatt, and Sensei, it was really tough to watch those. Reality, it was really tough to watch those.
We'd be in Columbus, and then, you know, Doug would walk over to our apartment shirtless, bro, with Captain America pajamas. Only Captain Pajama, you know, like Captain America pajamas. Like, what the hell? And then he'd look over, arms crossed like this, be like, I'm trying to win a world championship, Brandon. I'm like, what the fuck is
that? He pulled up 20 and 30, two minutes to hell. Like, yo. Blatt's got 45. Like,
yo, and
like,
Brandon, what time is this? Is this like a practice day? Like, it's not even a match day. It's
we like... lost a league match. Yeah, we lost to like United or something, like 3-2, and then Doug shirtless like this. Yeah, I swear to God, like, walk over to literally our apartment. It's like, literally. 2 minute walk. I'm like, damn, bro, get a shirt on. But he'd look at me dead in the face and be like, I'm trying to win a world championship. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm
like, bro, but I remember those conversations, even when we used to get out of those scrims. You were just sitting there, like, bro, I'm only a year two. Like, imagine, like, what it's like to play with Karma three-time champion.
Yeah. It's
and then
different.
The fact that it all went in full circle and you had that opportunity and you have seized that moment to the maximum, bro, is insane, cool. Bro, because you only played like 2 years before you got your opportunity and you never looked back since then, bro. You are gross.
Well, it's similar to...
Yeah.
It's similar to Matt's story. I mean, Matt was 1 year and then, you know, when people notice that and then you get that opportunity, you go in and you make it happen. So back to that again. So you're on the team. You're looking over, like you said, you got Damon, you got Seth next to you, you got Krim, and you're like, what the hell? But you guys hit the ultimate high, you win a championship, and you were frying. You got MVP there, Brandon, or I think you did, right? So you got MVP. Right? Yeah, you had to. I mean, you had one of the craziest clips I've ever seen in my life. It's still top 10 clip of all time, for sure. Maybe top five.
Oh, wait, that was Champs, the 5-piece.
Oh, was that at Champs? Okay, whatever. It all blends in. It was a long time ago. Either way, you were gross. You win the first event, you get MVP. Yeah. Right, and then you guys start to have some problems, and then this is the first time where like you're having problems on a team, but you can't look around and be like, these guys are ass because they're all good, right? So it's different. So how was that like working through those issues? Because you're still developing as a player at this point.
Yeah, it was different for sure. I don't know. I think our issues were just complacency issues. It was just like, because we won the first event, but it wasn't just we won the first event. We were just getting on every day. We're winning every scrim. Like, we wouldn't even drop maps. We won all four of the pro downs, and then we went to the tournament, lost four maps. It was kind of like, oh, we're good. No one's going to fuck with us, you know what I'm saying, yeah, for the rest of the year. And then, obviously, we took a three-week break after we won, and then, like, the beginning of January hits, because it was, like, the beginning of December, Vegas, and then, end of, like, New Year starts, my visa, that's when the whole P1 thing happened. So I missed the first couple league matches, and then Tommy had to fill in. And then I guess from that point on, we just never – it felt like we were always a really good team that could win, because we got third like three other times, Champs, Anaheim, and London. But we just like – I don't know. We just didn't have that same clutch ice that we did at the first event. And then we'd lose – our S&D kind of fell off towards the end. Our HP wasn't as dominant. And then that's all it takes just for another team to catch up. And then 100T just kind of got the better of us, I think, towards like the last three tournaments or four tournaments.
What did you guys get? What did you guys get in Miami? You guys, I thought, I remember you guys being pretty...
06. 3-0 by LG, 3-0 by Thieves. We didn't even do anything. We got thrashed. Not, I don't even think the maps were close. No bullshit.
It's crazy, because it's like not crazy, but at the time it felt crazy, because like, you look at that roster, you're like, in the beginning of the year, they should win everything. But in retrospect, then you look back and you're like, some of these guys were kind of at the end of their careers. You know what I mean? So. Yeah. And you were dealing with a lot of like community backlash during this time. Like people were like, Brandon's what's this guy doing? This and that. And obviously during the time, that's hard to deal with. How did you go through that? Like the green wall, like you went from complexity to the green wall and you won the first event. So love was maximum. And then y'all started to lose and they were coming for your head. I remember.
Yeah.
How you deal with that?
Nah, it's crazy. Cause when you're on complexity, you lose a tournament. It's like, no one even knows, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I go on Twitter and it's like, people are tweeting me like, yo, you got those new Jordans? I'll be like, damn, what's that name? I just lost 3-0 like 30 minutes ago. No one even knows.
Yeah, you didn't even peep it, huh? You didn't even look.
Yeah,
you
didn't even looks it. Actually though. Holy shit. We got smoked. But I think it's different. Cause obviously the first tournament, I mean, the first 2-3 months I was on the team, that was just like the viewership's insane.
Yeah.
People are going to your stream just gassing you. I mean, we won the first tournament. There's just nothing but gas, literally. It's like the only thing you could see. And then obviously, once you start going through some turmoil, like especially as a team, that's when you start seeing, like, damn, is this the fan? Like, I see what you guys are talking about, because I remember Krim's like, yo, listen, bro, don't open your mentions after a tourney if we lose. And I'm like, fuck, bro, this guy's tweaking. And they're like, yeah, we're good, bro. But then, like, literally the first tourney, he's like, dude, drop this guy. I'm like, we just won last tournament. I'm like, I know, yo.
Yeah.
I think by fourth, we got, like, 12th or 8th or some shit like that. Or top 8. That was top 8. Top 8. And then we were just getting cooked, because I'm like thinking, oh, nah, the fans are going to get it. Like, it happens. We're not going to win every tourney. 6-for-6, that's just delusional. And then they were like, nah, what the fuck, make a roster change? I'm like, yo, the fuck? Yeah. I'm like, yo, we kind of locked in, bro. These guys expect greatness.
So,
so used to it now, but
I know you're used to it now, but I'm trying to unpack it a bit, because I can't even comprehend what it must be like, because whenever my Twitter's going rogue or whatever, I try to ignore it, but obviously it's 10 times more for you. So, like, on a real note, like, when you get off and you see all that, do you look at it? And if you do look at it, does it not phase you at all?
I mean, like, it's like you can't really control what people are going to say. I mean, it's kind of like, I mean, this is kind of like a default answer, but I can't really, I don't know. Like, I just really don't care what people say, like, in shorter terms, but it is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
I get what you're
saying. People gas me. People don't gas me. Like, it's just, I know people don't really see or know the real answers to like half the situations. I'm like, these guys are just coolest. You know what I mean? They're just like popping in on their burner or some shit like KD and just.
Yeah.
but it's a totally different experience when you scroll through the Bluebird and you're sitting there getting good gas compared to bad gas. Cause like good gas, you'll be sitting there and you read line for line. Bad gas, you'll read it and be like, what the f- is this guy?
This guy's fainted.
Shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? And like with the green wall behind you, that's the most intense it could possibly get, bro. And with you being like still a young player, like it's crazy how you had to have handled that. And at least what it looks like now, you have overcome that. So it's cool to see.
Well, what your answer? I was just gonna say what your answer like kind of gave me was just like pure confidence. Like, cause even in the replies, like you said, like I just read, I'm like, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about, which is
sick. I don't try to prove anybody right, especially because it's like, bro, like you don't do this every day. You know what I'm saying? You don't see anything, so it's like whatever. Yeah. Like, and plus, like even now, like because before I would like see like bat or like whatever. Let's say if we lost a tourney, I'd be like, I'm not going on Twitter or whatever. But like now, it's like even when I see good gas, I don't think or I don't take either or as like a Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to just take the good gas and not take the bad. I just don't even, I'm like kind of even with it. I'm like, whatever. It's like, it is what it is.
Yeah. Oh, that's what's up, man. That's a really good mentality, especially for somebody in your situation. All right. One last thing about like that team you had, obviously, with the GOATs first time in Optic. What is like the biggest what if moment you feel like you had with that team? Could have been a tournament or maybe
with the
even,
BO4 team, right?
Yeah, or maybe even just like surreal moment. Like it, what was a special moment with that team?
Ooh, a special one, I mean, just teaming with them, just especially the first time I met them in person, because I don't think we ever met or at least spoke to each other in person, especially at Vegas. I don't know, we had a pre-line before that, but just sitting down next to them and then seeing, I mean, who were my teammates, you know what I mean? It's the dynasty. I'm looking at Crim6, I'm looking at Karma, I'm looking at Skump, TP's my coach. I mean, obviously, me
and TP talking about teaming.
So at first, it's just like, I don't know, it's kind of just, you're kind of just going, you're just like living in the moment, I'm just kind of going through it, but when I think back at it, I still remember there was a day I'm like, damn, what the hell? Like, I'm actually teaming with, like, it doesn't feel real, you know what I mean? But
yeah,
I didn't want to, like, overthink and, you know what I'm saying, and just, like, let it, you know, affect me in any way. So you just kind of just lock in and kind of just not think about it too much. But I don't know. At first, it was different, especially teaming with, like, Damon was the one dude I was like, damn, yo, he is, yo, that's the fucking goal.
That's
you know
three
what I'm saying?
Time, bro. That's the three time.
Because he didn't talk about it. Yeah, nah, he's the original three time, you know what I mean?
The original.
He'd be three.
Would you?
He wouldn't talk often, but when he did, he would say some like,
you'd listen.
Some wild shit. Yeah, yeah. But,
so
yeah.
Why did you have him run, what was it? Was it grapple? ICR? Grapple hook? Wait, yeah. He ran grapple? Why did you guys put him on grapple?
Because you know how Damon is. A lot of people know this about Damon, but at the beginning of games, the first month, he's like the best player in the game.
Yeah, he's
he finds
the best.
Out everything. Every nerdy thing, like the grapple was new to COD. So everyone's like, dude, how do you even play this? But Damon took pride and like, bet, watch this shit. I'll like master it. And he did. Like, you know, no bullshit. Like, he was like on Seaside, he'd go outer like Spider-Man. I'm like, damn, bro, he is montaging right now.
Yeah.
But then after once people started picking up and like, you know, the good grapple players got better and better and better.
Yeah.
It kind of hurt us because he was kind of like a Maddox, like, and he wanted to run like an ICR type of role. So then, obviously, you want one of your SOGs running a grapple, ideally, just because it doesn't take off like the points. And then they could also, like, you know,
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, that's why United and, yeah, that's why United was fine because they had Simp and Abizi on that shit. But,
so, Brandon, so there's been all these rumors, obviously, of like Damon wants to coach, and like how you guys have such great chemistry. Obviously, we don't need any intel or anything, but I want to know, would you enjoy having Damon as your coach? Like, I feel 100%. Like you guys have great chemistry. Like, how do you think he would help you guys? And just talk me through that a little bit. Obviously, it's been a talking point.
I would love to have Damon as a coach. I mean, I think all of us would too, but I think Damon wants to coach us when he's hammered, because every single time he gets two or three drinks in, he's like, dude, Bruce, I can help you with control, man. And then I'm like, damn, you have Damon, I'm down. And then the next day, it's like he's a ghost, bro. He's like, nah, fuck that shit. He's like, I ain't waking up for this
shit.
He's
on Rust.
I'm waking up playing Rust for sure.
Nah, but I would love Damon for sure. I mean, definitely, like, because he's just like, he'll just keep it real. He'll be like, yo, listen, like, you guys are trolling here, or you guys are doing this good here. Like, he wouldn't just be, nitpicking, he'd keep it honest, you know what I mean? If something's working, if something's just, you know, if something's just like a bad timing situation, or if it's like a, you know, a one-off, then he'll say that. But like the bigger picture of things, he could definitely help us out with, because he's almost like a fan also. He wants the best for us, so he also would be like, yo, listen, like, trust me, like, this is the one thing we got to work on. So I would love him, but that's up to Damon for sure.
When it comes to like Damon as a coach, it sounds like you would love having somebody who, you know, is watching and stuff like that, but maybe not always after map or after series saying something, just like when they notice something that is like glaring or bigger picture type deal. So that leads me to the question of like, what would you want out of a coach, like ideal situation? Do you think it's like needed on a team, or is it something that you feel like you don't exactly need, like you can figure out yourself?
I don't know. I'm kind of like on and off with a coach. I mean, I wouldn't mind having a coach. I mean, the past coaches I've had, Jay, Teep, Rick. Was it Rick ever? I don't even remember. Maybe Rick for a little bit, but actually, no. That might have been Cap. But
Rick was, I don't think Rick was a coach.
It was Pac-Man. That was one of them.
Pac-Man.
That was so cool.
Well, you've had so many coaches.
He'd like, he'd be like, Cap, you're faded. Cap. He's like, oh, but, but like all the coaches I've had, like I had no issues with them, but it's kind of just one of those things where I don't think it's really needed. I mean, JP, what he does for our team, is phenomenal. I think what he does is, I think he'll still tell us like situational, like you guys are trolling here, you guys need to like, you know, work on this right here. But then he kind of just like helps us out with, you know, with analytics. So he'll just be like, yo, listen, like 80% of the time, like we get broken here. 50% of the time, we're like, we're only holding this. So it's kind of just like, okay, we got to work on this. This, like, just the math just says it. You know what I mean? Like the numbers say it. Yeah. And you can't really argue that. But with a coach, it's kind of, unless they're playing the game every day and then they're updated with, you know, what's meta, what are like the good updated strats, you know, just like the default, like things about like COD, like, you know, how, because every week it's changing. I don't know.
And every year it's a new game. Yeah.
Yeah. Literally. Uh-huh.
New stuff we got to learn.
And there's like, I don't know. So I feel like it depends on the coach. But I don't really think it's needed in COD because I feel like COD is such an in the moment decision making game. Like, it's so situational. Like, you can get into play 1,000 different times in a certain situation and they could play out 1,000 different ways. You know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah. You're one shot here. I don't know. Like, there's just so many like different things I can think about. But,
well, a coach can mean different things too, right? So, like, technically, JP is like your coach, right? It's just a different process, I guess. Go ahead, Jay.
There's like two different ways like to view a coaching thing. And sometimes it works for certain players, sometimes it doesn't. Like when I was playing, obviously I had Rambo Ray right next to me, which was your former coach. He's a great mind in Call of Duty. And he was just able to sharpen my gameplay with like stuff that he wanted to do. But now in a different situation where other coaches, like you said, if you're not really playing the game, you don't really know all the situations. And then for a team like your team, where like you have like the movement king and Shotzi, you always have Hoop moving around.
You guys
have so many different plays that like all these situations can play out completely different every single time. So it's not in the situation where the coaches are going to know the best play. It's usually the players that know the best play because they're playing the game. They're in the moment, you know? So it's good to see that you guys, obviously everything that happened with you guys and your coaching staff, that you guys have completely let that go. You've made incredible process through your team improvement, like with your roster, bro. And like, you're one of the best hardpoint teams in the game, if not the best. So continue working.
Yeah. It's not even one of those things where, because, like, I know the stigma is, like, oh, they just want to run around and just get kills and just, like, not have rules and just, like, basically have fun. But it's, like, bro, like, of course we want to have, like, you know what I'm saying, like, a system and, like, what we like to do and how we like to approach things just so it's consistent. Mm-hmm. But we're not, like, restricted. Because before it felt like we were just restricted. Like, yo, like, do this or, like, you have to do this. You know what I mean? This is a mistake otherwise if you don't. So it's kind of one of those things where you're not second-guessing, but you're, like, damn, like, if I do any other play, it's just going to be, like, yo, like, watch this. You know what I'm saying? I'm, like, bro, this is pointless. You know what I mean? Like, it's, like, almost, like, you're not allowed to make mistakes. When I don't believe in that. I feel like in scrims, you should be able to, you know, test limits, you know, try things, you know, like, try a setup, try a different, you know, like, you want to push this, go for it. You want to see this hold, if it works, go ahead. You know what I'm saying? Like, you shouldn't be, like, confined to, like, a box almost. It felt like we were just, like, almost on the leash when we were playing, and we couldn't just get creative. And I feel like that's just how the best players and the best teams just, like, get better, honestly. I mean,
yeah, situationally, like, making plays,
I don't want, I didn't want to, like, obviously, like, again, like, it's not about, like, oh, we just want to run around. I feel like I was just, like, I don't know, a little fugazi, but
no, I mean, it's clearly showing in the results, like, that you guys are next level. For you, Brandon, is this the first time that you felt like you're kind of, like, free? Like, where, because you've always, like you just said, and you just listened off all the coaches you had and stuff like that, and different teams. Is this the first time you felt sort of, like, free on the map to be creative, to be like, hey, man, maybe we should try to do this, guys, and, like, people actually giving it their best effort?
Nah, like, I feel like I've always had that mindset, especially for majority of my career, but recently, probably, yeah, I'd say out of that, but majority of my career now, it's been usually kind of how it is now. I kind of just just play my game, and then from that point on, like, we kind of all play our own games, and then obviously we know what, like, we want to do as a team, and then we kind of just pinpoint out little things that we could do and help each other, but we don't step on, because at the end of the day, like, if you tell someone how to play, they're going to play worse, bro. Like, it's just what it is. Like, even if you think it's the better player or whatever it is, there's just, if they're not comfortable, they're getting fried, bro. You know how it is in COD. If you're, like, a little bit, like, off in confidence and somebody else is full confident, they're just going to, like, I feel like they're just going to smoke your shit.
You're going to run you over. Go ahead, Jay. You got something?
So, Brandon, you've been a superstar in this league, like, for a really, really long time now. And that, usually, when you have that superstar title to your name, it comes with championships. You won your first one with your Optic roster, and then it took a couple years for you to get back on top. What was that like, that whole process of just consistently losing but wanting to get back and, like, having to go through that when you are such an unbelievable player that you believe in your mind you should be winning? How were you able to deal with such tough
and getting better in the middle of it,
and then getting better and then eventually rising back on top?
Dude, I don't know. It's still hard now because obviously I want to win every tournament. I mean, we got second at the past two, and it definitely tough. Sucks, but
yeah.
But like, I don't know. I feel like it's one of those things where it comes with competing. You know what I mean? There's highs and lows, and definitely had my share of lows, like a lot more than I wanted. But I mean, just to finally win again after, I don't know, it was like 3 years of just grinding, wanting to win, you know what I'm saying? Just consistently innovating, me developing as a player, trying to do whatever I can to be a better teammate every day. It meant a lot. I mean, I'm still trying to, like, I'm not even close to being the perfect teammate or the teammate I want to be. So it's still, like, a lot of things I'm working on daily, but it's a process. And honestly, I just have fun with it every day. It's just what it is. Like, I kind of enjoy what I do, so it's easy to make the improvements in the areas I know I have to. So
I just, what do you think are the areas from, like, in the beginning of your gameplay to now that you have improved drastically, and then from now to the future, the things that you were working on to be that better teammate?
Yeah. I think at the beginning of my career, I was just so used to just having to do it all. I mean, it, I don't want to sound, like, cocky or anything, but it just felt like if I didn't, like, do a lot, if I didn't get, like, a two or three piece, for example, on, like, a hardpoint hill, I was like, bro, like, we're getting broken on this. So if I just want one point.
Especially with Ricky and Sensei, you had to get all four.
So then I felt like maybe, and then I guess from that point on, there's some habits maybe I had to break, I guess, in game of just like, okay, I don't have to do too much on the map. I can trust, like, now I got Seth, or I got Damon, I got, or Ian, or T, you know what I mean? But then also, like the outer, like, just like the teammate overall, like, just, I guess, out of game, like, the, just not being, like, I wasn't selfish before, but I definitely thought, like, yo, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to sound, I don't know, this sounds like so, like.
No, I mean, be honest, like, and I can translate it to the viewer.
But at the time, like, it felt like I had to get, like, a piece. You know, I was just so used to, like, if I didn't do something, for example, we're going to lose, you know what I'm saying? But I had to break out of that, like, mindset. But I felt
a lot of players have felt like that before. Like, when they're on the struggling team and they're like, I have to fry. If I don't fry, we're screwed. And that creates bad tendencies, which is why I'm so impressed that you fixed that. Because I have on here, I'm like, it's been far and few in between plays that we've seen from you and we're just like, we have to question it. There's like none. Mm-hmm. Like, you play the game at such a high level, and it's like discipline too. Like, you're on rotations, you're where you need to be. It's like, you are an S tier player in Gunny, but also Fundy. Now, where did that come from? Because I remember watching you used to go rogue. Like, you used to try to pop the three pieces every time. Like, you'd be in the mix. Like, where did that come from?
I mean, I'm just obviously teaming with, like, such great players. I'm just understanding over time that I don't have to do too much. I'm playing with Shotzi, you know what I mean? Kyler and Dan's even nasty at this, and people are like, oh, like, he's just like a, like, people just look at numbers, but, like, well, we know what Dan does for our team, and he's probably the best fit that we could literally ask for. So it's just like understanding that my teammates are gross. Like, Kyler and Ann are literally just. They're pushing P, bro. Like, they're in their spawn. Like, they're getting P, bro. Like, and then I'm like, all I got to do is row, just win my one-on-one. I could trust them to do whatever it is to win maps. And then also, it's like, it's just trusting our practice, too, because if we weren't frying in practice, then the results wouldn't be happening in matches, too. So
yeah,
it's just trusting my teammates and just trusting the work also as well.
So that leads us to the next part. We wanted to talk a little bit about, like, now, like, the team in the current state. You guys are in a pretty good spot.
Before we get to the now, bro, this is a very juicy question that I wanted to ask you, bro. Just want to see your thoughts at, bro. So obviously in the beginning of the year, you're obviously teaming alongside Scum. You know him. He's one of your best friends, one of your favorite teammates of all time.
Absolutely.
And then he gives you the word that he's retiring.
Yeah.
Like, were you worried during that situation? How did you handle that situation? Because that's one of the guys that you probably looked up to back in the day. You were still mind blown. You were teaming with this guy. Like, what was that whole experience like for you when you got the word?
Dude, it's still crazy, like, even thinking about it, but because, I mean, Seth is, at least, he has to be my favorite team. You know what I mean? He played with him for 4 years. He's nasty, he's vibey, he's just, I look forward to like, seeing him, to teaming with him. It was just, like, it was an experience for sure, but I don't know, even, because when I first got benched, he was still playing, and then I remember just watching, and then they won their first league match, and then literally 2 hours later, Hector calls me and I'm like, what the hell? Like at first I was thinking, oh, like, I probably Loki just got traded, or, you know what I'm saying? I'm like,
yeah.
Or at least I'm like, damn, this is Loki on AIDS. But then he was like, hey, yo, he's like, you're back in, Seth is retiring. And I was like, what the fuck? And then at first I still remember it was like 9 o'clock at night, and I was just thinking about it. It was weird because I was excited to come back, but it felt weird, like, at the expense of Seth retiring. You know what I mean? It's Scump, you know what I'm saying? So I was like,
yeah.
I'm like, yo, I mean, I was obviously down, but then I don't know. It was weird at first, but I kind of just had to, like, lock in also because I was gone for a month or whatever it was. And then I literally had to play in like 4 days, and I don't know, it was just like super fast, and then everything was just happening, and then just everything, like just the announcement, seeing everyone's reaction, seeing his tweet, seeing his video, it definitely hit. And then I don't know, it was weird though. It was like bittersweet, definitely coming back. So I was thinking like, damn, what the hell, bro? This guy just retired. I was down to come back with Seth, you know what I mean? But it was just a situation. I don't know.
Did you feel more pressure like on you now with him retiring, you jumping back into the lineup? Like, I'm that guy now. Now with me back on the team, I have to make this happen. Did you feel like a little bit extra pressure on your back, especially with the green wall the way that it is?
Because it seemed like you turned up when you came back. Yeah. Like, you really did.
I mean, yeah, like I had in the video, he was like, dude, like you better be on your shit. I'm like, damn, like if I don't.
Like, oh no.
I'm just playing Val and yeah, like we're getting points. I'm getting points. I don't get lashes. I'm like, nah, I can't do that. So I was like,
yeah.
So I had to lock in. But I mean, I already had the intention of when I came back to be like a demon, I guess you could say. But it definitely helped that Seth motivated me like a little more for sure, extra push.
So, I mean, like from an outside perspective looking at it, it's like, okay, Seth goes out, you come in, and there's a ton of pressure. Like, damn, Dash's got a lot on his shoulders. And then, you know, the rumors comes in, and it's like, you went out and you were the guy who was a big proponent of getting Ghosty. And then you guys are having a ton of success. So from the outside looking, it's like, bro, Dashy really figured his shit out, got it together, and he's frying. On top of that, he's making good roster moves because there was so much that happened. I mean, the coaching thing, the Illy being sent to the bench for Ghosty, Skump retiring, you getting benched and put back in. And I'm just sitting there, I'm looking, I'm like, Dashy has made some unbelievable moves. And I feel like a lot of people haven't talked about it that much. So I wanted to ask you from your perspective, like, how did all this go down? Like the Ghosty thing, and you go and you grab him. What did you see in him? Obviously, myself and a lot of people were like, I don't know if this is going to be the right move, but it's panned out beautifully. So what did you see in him that made you decide, like, all right, Illy's time is done. It Ghost is going to come and we're going to get better.
Yeah, so I still remember it was after Major 2. Our team already talked about kind of making a change for Ender, and then we just had to figure out, because Ender is a really hard player to replace. I mean, what he brings to a team is you can't, like, quantify. You can't replace it with just pure stats. Yeah, or because what he brings to a team is I don't know. He just brings everyone together, make sure everyone's on their shit, and he's also clutch as hell. So, Ender is super, like just to find a replacement for him was hard. But I just remember talking to Haggy, and I was just like, "Yo, we need someone that's, you know, like just a list of like whatever Ender brought, like an IGL, but also good with respawn that could teach us a little bit." But because Ant wanted to kind of just not run around, but he was kind of doing the IGL before, and it was kind of like hindering his slang ability.
So you want to lock in,
yeah. And then obviously with Dan, and I kind of found out, I was watching his VODs for like 2-3 hours, and then I was like, this is exactly what we need, someone that's just playing the game correctly, that's consistent, it's gonna go hard every day, and just gonna make us nasty. And then just like, there's just a hunger also of like picking up a challengers player. It was kind of like I guess it was a risk, but the way I was looking at it was he fits in perfectly with what, like, the vision I had with, like, our team, just, like, the way we play the game and respawn. I'm like, this is low-key kind of, if it works out, it's perfect. And then I'm glad that the kid is taking advantage of the opportunity because he deserves it. He's nasty. And then I didn't even know he had receipts. He was just saying shit like, dude, Brandon, I was shitting on you in IW. I'm like, IW? What was it? Yeah. He was like, it was Ghosty. I'm like, I don't remember a Ghosty, bro. But then he was like, no, trust, bro. Then pull up, like, a picture from an IW 2v2. I'm like, yeah, he got that.
That's amazing.
Like, he's like, formal is final though. I'm like, shit, what the fuck?
That's crazy. That's crazy to think about, because like a player like Ghosty, like Ant said, we all gave him a little bit of slack because we just weren't expecting a challenger player to end up on Optic. But you guys obviously made the right decision. And I think one piece that he really brings to your team that took you guys to a whole different level is just the communication level. Like what he's able to do for you guys in the comms, like Lando calls it all the time. He's like the human radar or something like that, or in-game radar. He's consistently talking. So like sometimes when you find yourself in that zone, like I play with you, when you're in that zone, you're just strictly slaying out,
and
like you're allowing exactly, you're just allowing him to lead the way, or at least lead the comms. You still know everything that's going on, but you're more focused on yourself. So Dan, for all three of you guys on your roster, because whenever you guys are able to be the individual players that you are, like Shotzi, he's able to move around. Hook, he wins some insane gunfights, and you don't miss bullets. So when you guys are all able to focus on your individual play and add a player who can take all you guys to the different level, I think that's what you guys did here, and it's been looking good so damn far. Like, it's been looking great.
Yeah, no, I still remember, because I remember watching his VOD, but I'm like, I don't know if the VODs are enough, you know what I mean? But then I remember watching an 8 series, because I remember Florida wanted to pick him up, and then he played even a scrim with them, I guess as like a trial or whatever. But then I remember watching him play 8s, and he was just like motorboat. He's a Tyler Fellow Jr., you know what I mean? Motorboat.
Yeah, bro. Motor mouth, bro.
Yeah. He's saying everything, and I'm like, yo, this is exactly what we need, you know what I mean? Just somebody that just consistently for every single hill, there's like a bigger picture on how to play the game, but he's not... You know what I'm saying? Like, telling us what to do, but he's saying, like, what should be done. I don't know how to describe it, but it was, like, perfect there for exactly what we needed. And then it was obviously a chance, but, and also we didn't have, like, it wasn't one of those things where we could have got, like, a pro. We can't get like, Sal or some shit. Like,
yeah, it's hard. Yeah.
The pros, it's kind of also, like, he was, like, the best possible Challengers player, I think, right? I mean, he had to.
Who was Ghosty?
Ghosty, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was fine at that point. The rest of them had gotten grabbed. Yo, you know, asking you that question and just kind of like hearing it all in a row, like the things that transpired. Hey, I tip my hat, brother. You were moving kind of nice. You're moving kind of nice. I mean, went from the bench to a whole new roster with two different players to back-to-back seconds. And now, I mean, a different team has won every event. You guys are poised now. Like, you might as well save it for champs at this point. So talking about that, like how you guys have been playing second back to back, you clearly know what the issues are. It's matchup things, right? From my perspective, it looks like it's like versus Thieves, you guys struggle in the control a little bit. So talk to me about like what you're focusing on in that game mode, specifically versus like the Thieves, because it seems like versus everybody else, you guys have the clear edge already.
Yeah, against Thieves, it's just on like the 50-50 maps, because our better maps that we beat them on, like we're better than them on like for example, like Fortress, Hotel, they understand that, and they're better than us at like Embassy and probably Zarqua now, you know what I mean? So it's kind of just one of those things to just working on like the, or Mercado, or what did I say? I said Embassy and
Zarqua. And Zarqua, yeah, because they're like 8-0 on Hydro now. Yeah.
Hydro.
Yeah, y'all are better than them on Mercado Hardpoint for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where just those meta maps that we got to improve on. Obviously our control it got better, but it's not where it needs to be, especially with the best of seven format. I mean, it matters so much.
Yeah, it does.
And our S&Ds it's pretty solid, but obviously we didn't come from winners, so we didn't play like our better S&Ds because we couldn't just pick the maps.
Yeah.
We just got to make sure that we're better at the 2-3-5 the game modes, and obviously not try to fall off in our HP thinking too much, like, or trying to improve too much on the other things. But I think our S&D is, especially in practice and just all of us just individually grinding it definitely helps. Because it's one of those things where like you could be like playing it as in scrims, but it doesn't play out the same in scrims. You got to play like, you know, eights or tournaments or like wagers or whatever, just to get like people that are just wanting to win, just to see how it plays out. And because you got to play against, because when you play in a tournament, people are just going hard. They're like camping, you know what I'm saying?
It's
like,
way different.
Scrims,
yeah.
They're running it down. So it's just like, not even like, so you can't like use that too much as like, oh yeah, we're getting like S&D reps when it really isn't like the same.
I love, dude. You're so honest about that. You know, most people are like, yeah, I've been grinding S&D. It's like, oh, well, for you, it's way different.
I'm a search kid, so I could see like if someone's like, bro, this guy's not trying at all, and then you put 100, that guy, the same guy's camping spawn for 30 seconds like extra, you know what I mean? Or 40, I'm like, bro, like, there's 20 seconds left before he's take. I'm like, bro, like,
yeah,
no, it's just not the same.
I mean, yeah. So, go ahead, Jay.
Good. So for you guys now going into stage 5, you guys are already locked up for champs. Like, what's your guys, I guess, sort of like game plan going throughout this stage? Are you guys going to play a lot of maps that you usually don't play, try to expand your map pool? I know that Expo, you guys only played it 4 times, but if you guys are able to add that means you're going to be pretty good at all 3. So like versus these teams, since you're already in and you're going to be playing some top competition, you have some good matches throughout this stage, but like, what is your guys' main focus? Is like expanding map pool, being the best team that we could possibly be in every single mode, in every single map by the time we get the champs?
Yeah, obviously we want to improve on like Expo, especially because our hotel is pretty nasty, but I think everyone vetoes it against us, so it's definitely working on Expo or Silo, but I feel like our Expo is really good. It's just that when we played it against Thieves, I think Thieves are the only team that beat us on it, because we played it 4 times and lost twice to it. We beat them once on it, but that was, we beat them once on it. That was just in winner's finals, but we lost the other 3, but I don't know. Control is just one of those things where, like, they're just a really good control team, so it's not going to be consistent. We're not going to consistently beat them in, if we were to play 10 controls, like 7 out of 10 or 8 out of 10. It's one of those things where usually we're going to split, and we just can't let them get, like, the 2 in the grand finals, for example. Like, we got to split that, or, I don't know, find, like, an answer to that, you know what I'm saying? Or just maybe not lose, like, the winner's final so we have a veto advantage. Like, there's so many, like, things that we could, like, improve on, like, I guess in, like, the head-to-head matchup against them, but... it's one of those things where, like, when we, because we improved on it, but we just can't lose two of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And obviously, we've all been pro players here. And I think one thing, when you reach to that high level, when you're going into these championship matchups, the biggest thing that usually tends to hurt you is an auto veto. And with you guys being the best hardpoint team in the game, the fact that you guys auto veto is Embassy hardpoint, is that a major focus for you guys throughout this stage?
We're playing
because
at this
if you start throwing that throughout, like, people don't know what to play.
We're playing at this stage.
Are you playing Embassy? Sure. Finally, bro. Why are you guys should be disgusting at that map, bro?
Oh, for real.
No, we should be.
Brandon,
but the thing
you
is,
get to spawn and go top PD every life.
Top AC, It's my favorite map for sure. But like, it's one of those things where we would have played it because we're good at it in scrims. Even the last stage, the past two stages, we're winning it consistently in practice. It's not like we're not like 80% or 90% like we are on some other maps, but we're winning like 70-75%. Like even sometimes, like there's some weeks where we'll probably lose it once. You know what I'm saying? But it's one of those things where, like, what are we gonna play with? You know what I'm saying? Like our hotel, we're nasty at hotel. We want to put Mercado on Fortress. Our Fortress is obviously like, you know, like people just veto it. And then, then it's between Zarg and that. And then our Zarg in scrims is our, like, between all the five maps is our best map. So it didn't make sense to like play Embassy. But now, obviously, but knowing that Thieves is whatever, kind of just running the water and shit, like it's basically called, like, I don't even know.
It's weird because
they're swimming. They got the perfect stroke, bro.
Well, Thieves is comfortable.
Stroke and shit.
Thieves is comfortable playing Fortress hardpoint, but they're not comfortable playing Embassy, I don't think. So they usually
They like Embassy, right? I think they like Embassy.
No, they veto Embassy, I'm pretty sure. The Thieves veto Embassy. They have
they like Embassy hardpoint.
I think they like leave it in. It's one of those where it's like they're cool playing it, but they're not picking it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But with us, it was one of those things where we wanted to play Zarg against them, but it's not even like they were that much, like, because they're definitely nasty at Zarg, but against us in the head-to-head, I mean, they just clutched up. They beat us by like 5 points and then 50 points, but it was just like small mistakes that even now, like, it was kind of a good thing that we lost to them, I guess, in a bigger picture, because they taught us, like, for example, like on some of our holes, like, yo, we got to make sure we're not trolling here, or we got to rotate to this, or we got to not, like, throw our lives here, but it was like little things that definitely helped us even today, because we were playing it today and we were definitely making a lot of like the improvements that we were like messing up on at the tournament. So, but obviously it just sucks to learn it, like in winners finals and grand finals and shit. But I guess now that I guess with Embassy, I do agree with you guys in like the aspect of like, bro, we should be nasty at Embassy. It's like the AR Fortress, you know what I'm saying? So you can kind of just like run around and like, but
yeah, I'm looking at the Thieves stuff right here. They're 10-10 on hotel and they're 7-4 on Embassy. So it's like they're like third or fourth best map. But they were vetoing it up until stage three. They started to play a little bit. But they have been pretty decent on it as of late. So yeah, that could be something that helps you guys a lot going up against a team like them. But for you guys, for you, who do you feel like is like your biggest comp going forward? Because obviously Thieves, you think Toronto's still like a matchup wise, a tough matchup for you guys?
I think Toronto's always going to be a threat. I don't know. I guess with them, they kind of just caught us off guard in Major 3. It was Major 3, but I don't know. Yeah. Toronto's just going to be a nasty team. It's just this game is super, like, series to series. You know what I mean? Like I guess Toronto.
It is,
like, I guess that, like, finals, they just got the better of us for the 2 hours they were playing. Thieves is always going to be a threat. FaZe, you can never count them out, no matter how they're looking. I mean, Simp of BZ Cell, it's just like,
they
could spawn in any day and, like,
Pause there, though. You say that, but you have absolutely fried Atlanta
FaZe
for, like, 2 years now, brother. And, like, I'm not baiting trash talk or nothing. I just want to actually, like, get into your head a little bit about this. Like, why versus you guys do you feel like they fold? Like, or what gives you such an edge over them? Because, first of all, you are, you're dropping numbers. Like, you're serious. You always drop numbers, but you drop numbers up against that team. Why, brother? Simply why?
I think it's more teamwork than anything. I don't want to just make it seem like they're like, oh, like I'm like 1v4ing it. You know what I'm saying? Because like those guys, like you need a team to be phased for sure. But
yeah.
I think it's just one of those things where we have reps just playing them even when we were all under 18 playing S&D tournaments and like BO3 IW, and then we just kind of just have a good under. There's just so much. I don't know. It feels like it goes more like way back more than just like when we first came in the league. You know what I mean? But I don't know. Me and Sal, like, we were like playing with each other when we were like 16, 17. Like, we were kind of like an original duo. So it's kind of just one of those things where we know each other really well.
That's a scary duo.
MC, yo. Like, that's like, he's different. But yeah, it was one of those things where I feel like we know each other really well, and there's just like both teams just like look forward to playing each other. But I don't know what it is. Like, to be honest, I don't want to like flame them because they're still got, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, no, nah, they are different, bro. But like historically, so far in the season, they haven't been able to beat y'all. You're 6-1 in them versus them in Hardpoint. You're 4-0 versus Control. The S&D is the only thing you have negative versus the team. Like, when you look at, like, you know, when you talk about Atlanta FaZe, they're some of the best players to ever play the game. So you always have to be on point. And for some reason, every single time you guys have played them, you guys have made it look easy. Like, I know you said it's the chemistry that you guys have, the tendencies you guys know, because you guys were playing against each other for so long. But like, this wasn't always the case for you guys. It wasn't always like this between you and Atlanta FaZe. It was Atlanta FaZe a couple years ago that were always getting your guys' number. So now it's a complete switcheroo. So it's obviously got to feel good. But to beat the team like that, knowing personnel, like every time you go into that matchup, what's your mindset, bro?
It's crazy.
What's your mindset?
Because even now, like, playing them, it's just like our comms are different, like our energy is different, like it's like we just get, it's just like a fire, you know what I'm saying? Because you
bring the best,
yeah 100%, like especially those guys. I feel like it's a compliment to them. You have to bring your A game when you're playing Cell or BZ Sim, you know what I'm saying? Those guys are, no matter who or no matter how they're looking or the game it is, you know, the situation, like, you just have to like play your best or they're honestly gonna shit on you. Like, I still remember the one time they beat us last year, I wasn't playing that good, and then Cell literally just took over, and I'm like, holy shit, bro. Like, I gotta make sure I'm locked against this guy. This guy's a fucking robot.
Yeah. So you guys play them this week.
Yeah.
Good time. How are you feeling going into this one? Like, super confident. Obviously, this is the weakest that they've looked, but it's a big matchup for you guys, right? It's the last statement you get to make against a potential threat headed into, you know, the final championship at the end of the year. How are you feeling headed into that one versus Atlanta FaZe?
I'm always excited, like, still confident, obviously, but it's just one match online. I don't want to put too much weight into it just because, you know, it is a league match because obviously at the end of the day, it's the majors that matter, but obviously just for seeding, because I think we are pretty close to them in the standings. I think we're just
25 points.
That's like three league matches, but obviously we're going to be like played like other teams and whatever, like at the different placings at stage five that are going to like mess with them, but I don't know. We're definitely confident, but we're not looking at it like, oh, like, we've beaten them a lot, like, in the past. Like, we're just going to, like, run through them. We're still going to play our game. We're not going to get overzealous. We're not going to – because you never know. You know what I'm saying? Because COD, you could just show up one day, you think that you're the best team, or you could just, like, cheat, like, certain rotations or cheat certain gunfights, and then you get three out. So
Yeah. All right, bet. All right, so now let's get into, like, the more fun part of the show. I want to ask you like some things about the game, the friendly fire segment where we do like an either or. So we're gonna get into that. Before we do that, Jay, can you pull your mic away like an inch? You were clipping in the last part.
No, I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry, bro. That's it. No more.
Yeah, just pull it back. Pull it back a little bit.
No problem.
All right, Brandon. Who is retired that you wish you got the team with?
Ooh, like that never. That I never got to compete against either, or just like then doesn't matter who.
It could be anybody.
Probably not, but like a guy that retired that you wish you had the opportunity to play with.
Someone I never teamed with. Damn, I don't know, bro. Probably like Teep. Teep's a good.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, no, Teep.
Teep's running in front of you, bro. He's planting your bombs. That's for sure.
Who are you talking about?
The Slayer. Yeah, no. I would have been like, nah, bro. Like you talk about rotation, like, we're trolling here, bro. Like, say some shit that's just like.
All right, cool. What about? Obviously, you love your team. Y'all are in a good spot. But if there's one player in the league that you've never teamed with, who is your number one that you wish you could team with?
One player
in the league right now.
Probably MC. I mean, that's like an easy answer for me because, I mean.
Wow,
it's my original duo, you know what I mean? And then I feel like even when we play each other or with each other today, like, or even till this day, we could be playing with like in a tournament or rank play or whatever, eight or it just feels like it flows like how it's supposed to, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're like,
yeah,
we're, I don't know, it's like he goes to his spots, like, but like how the way we complement each other, it feels like, I don't know, it feels like natural, but probably MC, I definitely,
bro,
like a chance with. My original.
Yo, please don't ever make that team.
Please don't do that, bro. Please don't do that. I'll tell you, it's over.
Right now, yeah.
Back. Relax.
I love my team, though, right now. But
Yeah.
Yeah, not for sure, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like that's like a KD Warrior situation.
Yeah,
like, I'm not
bro,
trying.
That's like Steph and KD.
Five five. I'll take so 5v5. Like, yeah,
that's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. All the shut down dunk sensor. That's crazy.
All right, and then we got one more before the friendly fire segment, and it is, who's your top five Supreme Gunny all time? Ooh, anybody you played against? I need to know your top five Supreme Gunny. Let me hear this.
Yeah, because there's some people that I'm like, damn, okay, I gotta bring my A game for sure.
Obviously, you're up there, right? Yeah. So exclude yourself. Yeah. So I'm gonna put say you number one. So then let's go.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Formal number one clears anyone that's I'm gonna put else after that, especially in this prime.
Okay.
Ooh, do I say just ARs or subs too?
Because you can do subs. You can do anybody.
I got BZ, that thing strapped.
A BZ, he's got a strap because he'll be chopping me cross up and like I'll kill him the one shot. I'll be like, damn. I'm like, that was a sub. I'm like, BZ's got it. Kyler is up there for sure. Kyler and a BZ, like the same gunny to me. You know what I mean? They're both challenge mid to cross map and just ripping ARs off headies. I'm like, damn. Okay. Damn. Octane.
Okay. LaRue. He does have a beamer.
He's got that one.
One more. I want to say like an AR, but I can't really think of one.
It could be somebody like from way back or somebody that's new.
Somebody
like
you was watching on your come up. Like
till this day, John.
Prime John?
Yeah, Prime John was insane, bro. It was Gibraltar. I'll never forget this gunfight. It was on land. We were playing him side station. We were ready like 1-2. We had to win this. They were like 3-0. They were just like stat. There was like patent stats against us, one of those series. And it was first map. They're up like 190 to 80. And I'm on the godheady mid steps. And he was top cave with a sub. I'm like, what is this guy? You know, I could see gamer tags. I just see John. I'm like, this guy's trolling. And literally whips me up the best heady in the game and like clean as hell with the sub. And I was like, I watched him. I'm like, yo, wait, this guy's different. And Taylor's, even watching him, like, bro, he would just chow mids across my just perfect zaps. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yo, John was different.
Dude, he especially was crazy. Diff,
bro. The guy was diff, bro.
Yeah, like, him and App in BO3 chow VMPs cross map, bro.
Bro, they don't care, bro.
They did not care.
And John would win the gunfight, bro.
And then throw your ass off guard too, bro. Cause you sitting there with an MA, you sitting there like, oh yeah, like, I got him, bro. But he's just sitting there
like, yo, do I chow this three across map?
Unbelievable. And he's hitting you with shots like, yo, I'm one shot, bro. I gotta back down.
All right. So
that's crazy, man.
So we were all pros, right? Me and Jay have talked about this before. There's like a game within the game. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like the game within the game is like, you know, when I'm going up against like a Clay or something, I'm like, all right, I know Clay's gonna be up here. I'm gonna jump this corner. I'm gonna have to gun him here. Yeah. And like for you, there's the game within the game. So like, who are some of those tough challenges like in the AR position where you're like extra focused? Like, who gives you a hard time?
Let me think. Okay.
Or a good battle.
I think Cell is an easy answer. I mean, especially with all of us ARs, we know all of our like hot spots where we like to go, where we like to break off. So it's not like we're surprised, especially with like a break off or a certain hill, a certain spot. So it's kind of like one of those things where it's like an ego, like, you know where I'm at, and I'm, you know where, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I know he's gonna hold it from here. So it's just one of those where it just comes down to like how strong, like, you know, Donnie was, is like the iron or the gun, you know what I'm saying? So it's one of those things where, like, with Cell always gives me a hard time. Sam. Insight, when I first came in, I still remember me and Matt were like talking about it. We were like, bro, like this guy, we couldn't find him. And then we were like watching it, but like, bro, this guy's low key just like, he's just on the best headies, bro. This guy is
at all times.
He got the best. I remember Robin and Shinko. I'm like, damn, this guy's got the best credies, dog. Like,
remember when
behind the tree.
The tree.
Yeah.
Oh, damn. He was whipping them out, bro. That's
12 years later, I'm learning new spots.
Yeah, bro.
You can't disrespect Insight because he's going to spots like that. You know what I'm saying?
You can't. Yeah.
He's guaranteeing a kill, so like you kind of have to approach to like, you know, throw your attacks or, you know, saying shoulder it, see if he's there, maybe match like heady for heady type thing. But
wait, didn't you 180 him on Fortress? Was that you on stage?
On Fortress?
He got 180.
No, that was Dan.
Like, oh, okay.
Open, right?
Okay.
So you got your tough matchups. Who the hell is your easy matchups though, bro? Like, who is it that you spawned up and just be like, yo, I gonna lie, this guy don't stand a chance versus me.
I mean, there's a decent amount of people that I think about. Like, I can't even cap that. I just think
he said there's a decent amount. I mean, there is. I mean, the list is long.
I can't.
You only
made
three players that are tough for you. Keep that in mind, bro. And there's a decent amount of people that you make it easy work out.
I don't want to. Nah, I don't want. I can't even front because like, because I just know who's like also grinding the game and not. So I could just tell by the left stick. You know what I mean? The way they're moving, it looks stiff, bro. You know what I'm saying? I mean, my God, but. I don't want to, like, I can't disrespect anyone because if I do, they're just going to turn it to God, bro. You know what I mean?
And you know, like, when you're watching a match, Brandon, and you see the guy hit his head on the window on his way out, and you're like, there's no way that guy's gunning me.
Like, on the way, he's like, yo, he's watching, trying to leave a room, but then he hits the wall on the way out before he does this. I'm like, hey, yo, he's not winning this 1v1. There's no way, dude.
There's no way. That's amazing. All right, hell yeah. All right, so Brandon, we're to the point now. We just hit the hour mark. It's time for the friendly fire segment. Mm-hmm. Jay's going to list off some people. It's either ors, right? It's these players in their prime. Mm-hmm. And we want you to pick who you're taking for your squad alongside you. And then we got some funny ones then. But Jay, you could kick it off, man. Let's start it up.
All right, man. So here we go. We're going to start off with who you're taking. Okay, Crim like Six that. Or Karma in their prime.
Damn. Just go it off right away.
Just right off the rip, bro. Right off
damn. Dang, I gotta take Damon. I mean, this is not a surprise to some people, but that's my go. You know what I'm saying? DB to weed.
I love that.
I gotta take Damon.
Why, right off the bat though, like you picked Damon. Like, no love to Crim, like not even consideration.
Nah, Crim is goated for sure. Like, he's definitely like, bro, he's one of the goats, you know what I mean? But it's just Damon, there's just something about like, I don't know, playing with him, like he wouldn't come and then like be champ Sunday, like a big ass scenario, like map four, and then just pop a four piece. You know what I mean? Like, damn, bro, this guy is icy, bro.
I love that. All
right, next up. Who you taking? Some young players so far in the league. We got Nero or Kremp. Who you got?
Ooh. I gotta take damn, Kremp's looking pretty good. I still gotta take Nero though, because I think what Nero would just win some hard ass gunfights. He'll just randomly run into a hill and then get a, I don't know, like just shit on some dude off a heady and then be half health and then just shit on another kid. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, damn, what the fuck? But like, he just like, he's kind of like the, like he'll randomly just enter a hill and just do something like insane. But also with Kremp, he's like, he's still new, so there's, I guess it's one of those things where Nero's like, yeah.
Bro,
yeah, yeah,
yeah. Hold on. We gotta talk about Nero for a second, bro. That guy is turned. Have you ever watched him in the middle of a match? I always know, dude. If you haven't noticed it, Brandon, next time you watch, bro, he's throbbing in his chair. He's leaning back and forth, literally.
Nah, I haven't noticed that.
Okay, hold on. He's rocking.
He is headed. He is headed front, baby.
He's rocking that back and forth in his chair, bro. And I'm like, bro, what is good with this guy? He is literally twisted.
He's turned.
All right, next one, Jay.
All right, bro. You ready? It gets even more tougher as we go, as we keep going, bro. Who you taking, Simp or BZ?
Ooh, whoa. Okay, they're both nasty, before I clarify, but I can't lie. I'm going to take a BZ.
Ooh, instant?
Yeah, because I don't know. I feel like a BZ is just, like, what he does is, just, you can't replace it. You know what I'm saying? The pacing, the tempo, the gunny, just, I don't know. Like, he'll, like for example,
wait,
you guys
hold on,
Brandon. Zarkor?
You remember you said prime BZ, prime Simp.
Prime BZ, prime Simp.
I'm still thinking, hey, if I ain't going, I can't even front.
Okay.
I think for example, at champs, at BO4, no one talks about this, bro. This guy had a 1.3 grapple SOG. You know how insane that is? Bro, this guy's flying in the hill with a 1.0. Bro, this guy is getting 2 minimum every single hill. Every single break. Grab slam 3 piece.
Give me that. I'm out of here.
He's that's different. Full streak, so. And he's so good at SMD, bro. Different.
He's actually too though. Like, it's not even like a. It's just like you're just comparing him to a BZ. I think a BZ is like, he's like one of one. Like, it's like him, like Ant. You know what I'm saying? Kyler, like Simp. They're all in like their own like tier of like a. They're all kind of just unique, I guess, to like to what they do for their teams and stuff. But that guy's different for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, we don't even gotta ask the next one.
Yeah, I don't even gotta ask you. I just want to hear your answer, bro. I gotta hear it. Who you taking, Formal or Clayster?
Oh, come on, bro. I feel like to me, I think Matt, in my opinion, is low-key the GOAT, especially with what I know and like the conversations he's had. Like, especially, obviously, doesn't have. I mean, he has like the accomplishments and like the achievement. You know what I mean? But like, compared to like some of the people with three or. Does anyone have four rings?
That'd be
insane. No one's got four yet. No one's
ridiculous.
Got four.
Wait, that'd be crazy, bro.
The only one that still has a chance is Clay.
Clay, right?
Yeah.
But Clay is goaded too. Clay is goaded too for what he like does for like all of his teams, you know what I mean? But I think with Matt, he's just different, bro. Like, he just like, it's just the will to like just no matter the series, no matter the game, no matter his team, no matter the situation, it just feels like he's gonna do whatever it takes to win. So And he also in his prime, like I think he had like a 3-year stretch where like no one killed him, bro. Like it was crazy. Mm-hmm. Especially me, my first year in the league, I'm like, holy shit, like this 3-year like,
stretch where no one killed him.
No one killed him, bro. I remember like screaming, I'm like, bro, these guys are winning champs. And then like 3 days later, this guy's hoisting a trophy. I'm like, okay, at least I called it. Like,
dude, I know everybody. Yeah, I can't give Matt that supreme gas, bro.
Yeah, bro, you were a CNA,
bro. It's hard, but like he was him, bro. Honestly, he really was.
He was though, yeah.
And he just had such a good mentality towards the game. Mm-hmm. It radiated of like he's confident. All right, I gotta ask this next one, Jay.
Yeah, you take over. All you, baby.
I feel like you're gonna give an instant answer to this, but I don't know, Sensor or Parasite?
Ooh. I don't know. Like, damn, I'm
Prime Sensor, Prime Haggy.
I gotta take Prime Haggy because like for real? He's still yeah. Because Doug, like, I mean, Doug is, like, it's not even, like, a roast to Doug or anything. It's just one of those things where I know Haggy's mind, like, especially even today, like, he's still one of, like, the smarter minds just in the community just to break down, like, you know, just a, like, a hard point scenario or anything like that. So he's still, like, involved with it. And I know in his prime, like, he probably just doesn't have, like, the gunny or the, you know what I'm saying, like, the mechanics that he did, I don't know, back then. But it's, like, his mind hasn't changed, but you could tell, like, maybe in his prime, like, in BO2, I don't know, he was probably ripping people off headies and shit. Like,
he was final at BO2. He was. I teamed him in that game. He was really good.
That was his prime, right, probably?
Yeah. Oh, that was for sure his prime. Like, I mean, the guy was dropping 1.3s.
And he won champs. Like, he won champs. That's kind of amazing.
He did have DB3 at champs, who was goated.
Never mind.
Wait, their team was godlike. Dude, their team was godlike. They had Prime Damon and Prime Killa. Prime Killer was gross.
Prime Killer was gross.
Wasn't Mir final too?
And Mir was final. Yeah, Mir was a BZ. He was a BZ of BO2. He was.
Oh yeah, so that was That team was down then.
Yeah. All right, next one. Draza or Scrappy?
Ooh. I gotta take Draza just because I mean Scrappy's nasty and he's definitely. I don't know though. I feel like Draza is kind of like a. One of those players that he's just a grinder, you know what I'm saying? I think he has like a little more, not a little, but he's got like 2 or 3 or 4 more than or chips than Scrappy, right? And he's also nasty at S&D.
He is.
Also really good at S&D. He's got a ring. I mean, it's kind of hard not to go with draws. I don't know. He's just like a rat to play against too. You know what I mean? Like he won't ever chow you unless he's like on a better heady or whatever, but he's kind of like what you need on a team. It's kind of what Dan does, but kind of really similar to Dan.
Just speaking on that, do you want to put any of that to bed at all? People are saying that there's beef between you guys and Thieves, like Draza and you guys, but from what the way I look at it, it just seems like there's no, like, it's not like real beef. It's just like a funny comment.
Yeah, nah, there's no beef at all. It's not like one of those things where we see each other and there's like, yo, people got to hold us back and shit, but
hey, bro, you better chill, bro.
Yeah, we're actually pretty cool. I mean, me and Dill will still talk to each other. Me and Draza, whenever we played each other, it's just like, we're cool with each other, and then Ken, like, we'll say what's up, but same thing. But it's just one of those things that when you're competing, it's just in the heat of the moment. I mean, we're obviously like we're just like a, I guess looked at as like a rivalry just because it's like Thieves versus Optic, you know what I mean? And I guess it's been going back since BO4, but just one of those things where there's just a lot of like in-game shit talk. I mean, especially with like Dan, he don't give a fuck, bro. Like,
I love that.
He's in-game chat, bro. He's in-game chat, bro.
He's pressing Z, bang, and letting it.
I'm like, it's flawless too, bro. Yeah.
All right.
And then I guess Draza is similar too, so it's just like one of those.
All right. Brandon, crack aim or snaking? If one has to be in the game and the other one isn't.
Get rid of snaking, bro. What the fuck is this, bro? Come on, bro. We're just sitting here snaking. Everyone's like, good form. But what happened, bro? There was snaking back in the day. Dude, this is what I was talking about this with somebody. I was like, yo, I feel like the league now is just completely different. Because, like, I feel like back then, like, people would know, like, something snaking is, like, in IW, for example, there were only one team doing it. It was the Splice, right? And then they stopped doing it eventually. But, but like, it was just unanimously, you know, like, okay, this shit's insane. We're not doing it. You know what I mean? And then everybody, you'd go to tournaments, you wouldn't have to worry about it. Nothing. Like, there wouldn't be, if somebody did it, it was, like, by accident. They were one child, lay down, then they child. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't one, like, repeated type shit. But I feel like recently now, it's just, like, I don't know. It feels like more. I don't know, like, because obviously everyone wants to win, and they're just having that mindset of, like, fuck it, like, you know what I'm saying, whatever it takes for the win, but it's just more grimy now, you know what I'm saying?
It got so grimy. Yeah. Like, bro, I remember IW, like, we were like, yo, let's just not do it because it's corny, because if I do it, he's going to do it to me, and I just don't want to deal with it.
Yeah, and we saw, like, you know what I'm saying, like, the trickle-down effect of, like, okay, if he does it, he's going to do it. Now he's going to do it. Like, the whole league's going to start doing it. But now people just understand because, like, maybe they lost, like, a scrim by 10 points, you know what I'm saying, because some dude snaked by accident because he was one-shot. And then everyone's like, what the fuck, dude? And they start scrimming the whole – or they start snaking the whole other map. And then it just comes with, like, he did this and he did that, and then I didn't even mean to do that. This is one of those things where it's, like – well, honestly, it's on the game first because the game's got to fucking fix that shit.
True.
But we know they're not going to fix it. But it's like one of those things where it's like people aren't, like, I don't know, it's just champs. We're like, yo, imagine
I don't know,
these
bro.
Champs like that.
I do think the game has to fix it, but I'm also on the side of like, bro, you could not snake. Like, it's a weird thing. Like, bro, you're laying down and popping up over and over. Like, you can lay down and pop up if you want to get cover, but snaking is like a straight up cheese. Like,
it's insane, bro. It's insane. Like, I don't know. Like, literally what Jay said, just have some like competitive integrity, bro. It's not even one of those things where it's just like, I don't know, like, at least back then, it was like, okay, no, they're like, it wasn't like a thing, like, you gotta, like, not snake, because like, no one even talked to me, because you just see anyone doing it, you'd be like, bro, like, this is so cheesy, and then, like, you get roasted once, you'd be like, fuck that, I ain't getting roasted for this shit, like,
yeah,
I don't know, but some people just don't give a fuck, bro.
Well, we used to ban people from eights for snaking. We're like, well, we're not gonna play against you if you snake. That's literally what it was,
yeah,
bro.
Legit.
Yeah. All right, well, glad that, you know, you're aligned there, because that shit is whack.
That's horrible, bro.
All right, next one. Now, listen, me and Jay play this game a lot. Obviously, we're not pros, but we grind. And I will say the worst thing that I've ever experienced, ever in COD, is being sound whored to this degree.
Oh, God. That, dude, you're
my brother. Brother, this is EQ or no red dots. Which one are you picking if it has to be
God,
in the game?
This is so bad. Okay. I'm not gonna lie, I don't even care like that much about red dot. We gotta get rid of this daddy shit or this EQ shit, bro. Okay, I got daddy or something. This is absurd, bro. I'm a trophy player. I can't move on some of these maps, bro.
Impossible.
Going to bedroom on hotel, boom, boom, boom. I'm like, dude, this is like, I'm waiting. I know a sub I know a Vaz is looking with daddy just like, ooh, he don't know where I'm gonna flank his ass around.
Can't wait to catch his ass.
Yeah, nah, I definitely get rid of, like, I think not having daddy is worse than pretty much anything in this game. Maybe snaking is close, like a close second, but bro, like that's top two for me, bro. Like, you,
that's the worst.
Like red dots is like, it's pretty bad, but it's not even as close as those two, in my opinion.
Yeah, because EQ, bro, it's like the guy got hacks on, bro. Like,
he has one hacks. He's got one.
At least with no red dots, if you got good communication, you can make up a little bit with no red dots. You know what I'm saying? You can't stop getting sound hard, bro. So,
dude, it's so bad.
I'm completely with you. No red dots. I'm with that. Bro,
have you
daddy,
thought about
bro.
This? You're literally training in the hyperbolic time chamber, bro. We go to the next game and you have dead silence, you're gonna be like, if we have it, hopefully, you're gonna feel
that's a big if.
Yeah, that's a big if. Or if they add it somehow, like, can you imagine the difference in how that's gonna feel? But anyways, on the EQ thing, when did you learn about that? And have people been using that for a long time? Because I heard that teams have been using it for like a couple of years.
Yeah, for a minute.
I got some info on this. Yeah, this is crazy. I feel like, I mean, I learned about this in Champs of Cold War. This is like going back. Yeah, this is going back a minute. But listen, just know that Krim, he did some investigation work on a team. Because me and Ender are obviously really good friends. He was like, bro, listen, this one team's like, they're grimy as fuck, bro. They've been using this shit. And then Porter went into their PPA. And then he did his duck sensor wire, like, type shit. Then he did some investigation.
Wait, he just went on their computer and figured
out? Bro, he didn't give a fuck. He didn't give a fuck. He walked in and he, dude, because no bullshit. He was like, bro, this guy low-key could be, like, hacking. And I'm like, dude, this guy, whatever. And then he looked at shit. He's like, nah, they're using this shit. And then I remember I tried it in the warm-up of our PPA. And I was like, damn, I hear everything, but I don't know. It felt weird at first. And I was like, I don't know if I want to play with this. It's champs. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to risk, like, because you know how it is. I don't know if you guys have played with it, but it does mess with the audio. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Your gun sounds a little lower. Like, I was able to hear slides. And I don't know if I probably could hear footsteps, but I wasn't really, like, I don't know. I didn't really mess with it too much, but I found out about it in Cold War. And I know for a fact that people were using it against us. Mm. Or not, like, maybe at least a specific, you know what I'm saying? A couple teams, but
yeah.
It's definitely crazy. If we would have known about it, I don't know. I felt like
Use it Vanguard next year?
Nah, because I didn't even. Well, one, there's Daddy in Vanguard, so like, I didn't use it. Yeah, but I feel like we've known about it for a minute, but it wasn't as OP in, like, until this year, just because, I mean, there's no Daddy in this game, so like, you can just like basically have hacks.
So Krim figures out about it, and what does he do? Like, he just tells everybody else. Like, obviously, Krim's got a big mouth. So he
he's in a TS. Be like, dude, no, we would have won champs. You know, we would have won, right, Brandon? And I'm like, why are you telling me this shit? Like, he's like, nah, bro, you know this is bullshit. So it's one of those things where it's like, I don't know, like it, I was talking out, me and Inter was obviously really good friends, so it's kind of one of those things where we'd be in a TS just like BSing, and then we'd be talking about, like, I'm like, oh yeah, it kind of does make sense why they play like that, or you know what I'm saying? But
yeah,
I don't know, it's just definitely not good. But Krim actually did was like the Sherlock
that
Holmes.
That guy was on patrol, lead, bro. He was making sure.
If you're beating Krim, bro, there's something up, bro. Yeah. He's like, Brandon, listen. He's like, you're on the Pine Park right now, right? I'm like, what? I'm like, not three, bro. He's like, nah, you guys are baked right now. There's no way. I'm like, okay, nah. I'm like, yo, this guy's checking me out. I'm like, oh, no. Yo,
that's
nice
amazing.
Bad,
that's amazing, dude. Hell yeah.
He was funny, though. He's the man, though.
That's basically all I got here. Jay, did you have any follow-ups to the EQ one?
Yeah, nah, I don't have no follow-ups to the EQ one. I have more of like a human, you know, heart-to-heart moment. Obviously, I've watched you enter the league, bro. It's been insane. I've been supporting you the entire time. I'm not a biased caster or anything like that, but you know, you're my guy, bro. And yeah, I'm supporting you. Yeah, if I'm supporting you, bro, what is it like having the support of your family? Because I know you have such a beautiful family. Mm. Your mother, your father, your brother always come out to these events, man. What is that like for you to always know that they are in your corner regardless of the situation?
Yeah, it's cool, man. I mean, my mom is, she came to my first ever event because I still remember, because I remember I told like a little white lie to my parents. Like, I was like, yo, like, I won this tournament. I get to go to like, you know, this one, Anaheim. And we didn't win. We got like top eight at the 2K. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we was
like,
5-0, bro. We was out there.
Yeah, my mom's like, I'm coming out. What is this, like, gaming tournament? Like, she just thought it was a scam. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you can come through. And then she, like, all it took was literally one event. And then she was sold ever since. And now she's like always keeping up with the games. And even like my brother and my dad, like, they were kind of like newer, I guess you could say, like, I guess in supporting, because I mean, they just like, they would watch online, but they weren't like coming to these events. And like, I think it was until like 3-4 years ago, but my mom was like literally there since day one. And obviously she doesn't come to every single one, but like, she'll come to the ones that like she can. And I mean, it means a lot, because obviously, I mean, it's a fam, you know what I'm saying? So I just want to, I don't know. It's different because they're always there regardless of the situation. So it does mean a lot.
I swear, bro. Every time I watch your family at the event, more specifically your brother, some people actually stop at him thinking that he's you, bro.
I thought he was him. Even Ed
thought he was you, bro. Like,
I just finished that segment.
Like twins.
I turned around, I'm like, Brandon, you were frying. And he was like, what? And I was like, oh.
My brother's a man also. And he's always wearing the jacket too, bro. Yeah. He's just basically.
Yeah. That's what got me.
Yeah, he's an imposter, bro.
First of all, bro, I just gotta say, that's super dope. Your family's awesome. Your mom's like the nicest person I've ever met.
Thank you, bro.
That's gotta feel awesome. You know, a lot of people are starting to have their families come out. But it's crazy. Your mom is at every single event, bro. And you always turn up. Whenever she's in that front row, you always turn up.
Shout out Mama Dash.
Yeah, she might have to make it out to all these events. Jesus. Yeah. You playing like that, brother.
Are you hyped for Toronto coming up? Obviously, that's in your homeland. How far do you live from like Toronto, like your family?
It was like 3-4 hours, but basically, I mean it's my first event ever. Well, last year was my first event ever, like, in Canada. It feels kind of crazy to say, because I always felt like there should have been like a Toronto or Montreal or like somewhere Vancouver, you know what I'm saying? Because I felt like Canada is like, it's got some lit cities, you know what I mean?
But it does.
I mean, until last year, it was like the first year where, actually, no, we had one in World War II, right? There was like some.
Yeah, you remember? You that was the Niagara, right? Yeah, we was up 5-0. How you got nailed 5-5?
Yo, wait a second, bro. What the fuck? 5-5? Nah, hold up, bro. Wait.
Lost, bro.
Yeah. I remember 5-1. I'm like, yo, we got this shit. We going to finals, baby. And the next thing you know, all I hear is, yo,
got nailed it. Oh.
It's a minute 22, bro.
Flag, dude. He never had flag, bro.
Dude, he had a fast class, bro. Because you know how he's like, nah, I'm not slow, bro. What the fuck?
Always,
like,
dude.
Airborne trying to rush water steps on London Ducks. Like, yo, what the fuck? I don't know. It feels lit definitely playing in Toronto. I mean, I have a couple of my friends going out also, so it's not just my family. Honestly, just the food there is crazy. Just the vibe. I don't know. It's the motherland.
It's home, baby. It's home, baby. It's home.
Yeah,
ain't
nothing
like playing at home,
man. And Brandon, remember, you can win in your home country and get revenge on the team that beat you in Major 3. So
it's your own home Major 2.
It's all in the cards, brother.
Full circle, brother.
Yeah, man. We don't forget. Just put it like that.
Love that. Well, Brandon, listen, man. I've been blessed to watch your journey. It's been incredible so far. I know you're not done. This rest of the season is going to be dope. Appreciate you taking the time to come on, man. I learned a lot about, like, you know, your story and what you went through and stuff like that. So it's pretty dope to get to chat, brother.
Yeah, nah, thanks for having me on. This was lit. This was lit.
Yeah, brother. You know, just want to appreciate you, bro. You know, you're my guy, bro. I love you, bro. Continue doing what you're doing, baby. Keep shining, bro. Hey, thank you for coming on, brother.
Appreciate you, bro.
All right, guys, audio listeners, much love. Make sure you guys give us 5 stars. If you want to leave a rating that's not 5 stars, then just don't ever watch again. On YouTube, please leave a like, comment, and subscribe, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Peace.
Peace.